When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
Blog Talk Radio.
I am the maker of the heavens. I am the bright and morning star. I am the breath of all creation, who always was and is to come. I am the one who walked on water.
Good evening. This is your host, Reverend Rick Anderson. The show is called Jewish Roots, each Thursday night, 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Our theme tonight is Christ in a Dungeon at Christmas Time. The number to call for question or comment, 347-324-5759 on Blog Talk Radio, Food's Crew, for our undeserved grace, Christ redeemed earth willingly. Brothers and sisters in Egypt, in Kenya, in Syria, in Sudan, in Iran, in Pakistan, and other places, Christians are suffering persecutions during this Christmas time season. They're suffering in prisons, in jails. Some of these stinking hellholes are not even worth calling prisons, at least by American standards. Are you thankful to Jesus at Christmas? Well, one way you can show that thanks is to minister to Jesus in prisons around the world through your prayers, your letter writing, and your general increased awareness of his people's condition. I'm talking about prisoners of faith, prisoners of conscience in foreign countries. Matthew 25 recalls the saints at the last judgment saying, "But Lord, when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." That's a passage in Matthew 25. The point I'm making is Jesus takes it personally when we minister to his people, and he identifies with his people being persecuted for their faith. Hebrews 13 tells us this as well. It says, "Remember the prisoners as if chained with them and those who are mistreated." And what it's talking about is those who are prisoners for their faith, those who are being persecuted. Tonight we'll be discussing the current persecution of Christ's people in some of the persecuting nations of the world, some of whose governments are actually receiving financial aid through the U.S. State Department. And we will be praying on the air for some of these people. So you need to know what's going on and what you can do about it. So tune in and take notes. This evening also we have a special guest speaker, Elder Ernie Zanone. He leads up Stratford Presbyterian Church's evangelistic outreach, and he has become more and more of an expert in the kinds of persecutions that are happening around the world and what Christians can do about it. So he'll be on the air a little later in this broadcast. But nonetheless, it's important for us to understand what's going on in the world. Are you aware that billions of dollars of American aid routinely go year after year to foreign governments, and some of which have the worst track records on earth for destroying churches, punishing new believers in Jesus, prohibiting missions and evangelism, and undermining the work of the kingdom of God? Now, it's bad enough that this happens to begin with, but as Christians, we mustn't let this happen without a word of protest. Some of the greatest recipients of American aid go to nations listed by Open Doors Watch. That's a Christian persecution watchdog group, as highest on their list of Christian persecutors. Open Doors Watch is a worldwide Christian watchdog group that is cited regularly by the publication Operation World. That's a book by Patrick Johnstone. You can get that. That's updated every once in a while, and it gives all the nations of the world and the condition of churches in that country and how the nations persecute, how those particular nations are treating or sometimes mistreating the people of God. The book is called Operation World by Patrick Johnstone, and it lists every nation on earth and the progress of the kingdom of God in each nation. That book is a standard resource tool for missions-minded churches and pastors, and can be obtained by means of Paternoster Publishing. Paternoster, that's Paternoster Publishing.com. Now, it comes as no surprise that highest on the list of persecutors today is North Korea. Second highest is Saudi Arabia. Now, North Korea does not receive American aid, but Saudi Arabia certainly does. They have a very high persecution rating. They are number two in the world for persecutors of the Christians. It is a high recipient of American aid, your tax dollars. Now, shouldn't you have something to say about that? Shouldn't your voice of protest be heard in the ears of your own State Department? Not far behind the Saudis is Pakistan. Pakistan also has a high persecution rating,
Currently, it is the 14th worst persecutor of nations of the world that persecute people who believe the gospel. We're talking about 150 to 160 nations of the world. Pakistan is number 14. Very high up there with nations like China, Laos, Vietnam. But keep in mind, Pakistan receives American aid. These are nations the American government spends a lot of time cultivating and befriending and trying to portray to American people as countries that ought to be our allies. And yet your same government regards Pakistan and Saudi Arabia as friends. But according to Open Doors Watch's survey for recent survey, both nations are not only persecutors of people like you and me, if you're a Christian, but they're even getting worse. Not far behind them are nations like Yemen, Morocco, and Egypt, very high on this scale of persecutions. And again, these nations get huge amounts of American aid, humanitarian and otherwise. And my question to you, brothers and sisters, are you content to let that continue without a word of protest? That's the question that I want us to be thinking about. Let's break for a song right now. The singer is Easter Lynn, and her song is Psalm 23. Let's listen and contemplate some of the things that have been said.
You make me lie down in green pastures. The group is called Esther Lynn, singing about Psalm 23, The Lord is My Shepherd. This is your host, Reverend Rick Anderson. The show is called Jewish Roots, each Thursday night, 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Our theme tonight is Christ in a Dungeon at Christmas Time. The number to call for question or comment, 347-324-5759 on Blog Talk Radio, Footage Crew, for our undeserved grace, Christ redeemed earth willingly. The first country we're going to deal with tonight is North Korea. North Korea has the world's worst human rights record. That comes as no surprise to most of us, and has a murderous record towards Christians. Trapped inside the brutal regime of Kim Jong-il, where estimates range to 2 million deaths by starvation and related problems alone, Christians face a terrifying existence. In North Korea, everyone suffers, but the worst oppression is reserved for the followers of Jesus Christ. Christianity is the number one enemy of the state. Today, there is even a hint. Today, if there is even a hint of the possibility of Christianity, the person and the entire family to the fourth generation are killed outright or sent to a prison camp to be destroyed. The conditions are so horrible inside the camps that it is hard to imagine. The Stalinist regime's tight isolation policies allow these deplorable human rights conditions to go unchecked by the international community. So the reason I can be so candid about North Korea is the U.S. has no diplomatic relations with North Korea. If it were another country, I would tell you, but North Korea has no diplomatic relations at all. Saudi Arabia, on the other hand, and Pakistan, they have relations with the United States. And when we write letters on behalf of prisoners of conscience, we should keep that in mind. At least one of the 12 concentration camps in North Korea is larger than Washington, D.C. itself. And it is estimated that some 400,000 people have died in these gulags in the past 30 years. Incredibly, in the late 1940s, before the rule of communism, North Korea's capital, Pyongyang, was the center of Christianity on the Korean Peninsula. Isn't that hard to believe? But it's true. With over one-sixth of the population being evangelical Christians, that's before the Reds took over, before the communists took over. It was at one time called the Jerusalem of the East. That's the capital of North Korea today. Years ago in the 1940s, it was called the Jerusalem of the East because it was considered the center of Christianity in Asia. What do you think happened there? Isn't that amazing? However, thousands of Christians fled to other countries to escape the growing persecution. Those that remained were hunted down and sent to prison camps. I'm going to bring on the show right now, Elder Ernie Zanone. And Ernie Zanone is going to brief us a little bit more on the conditions of North Korea. And then he's going to mention prisoners of conscience there. And then we're going to pray for them on the air. Brother Ernie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well, Rick.
Ernie, what can you tell us about North Korea that I haven't already said, but mentioned so far?
All right, well, there's prayer updates that you get on from Voice of the Martyrs. If you go to icommittopray.com, you'll see that. And one of the latest reports earlier this year was the death of two Christians in North Korea. These were Christians who had escaped. They traveled and were saved while in China. And one was shot on his way back to Bible training in China. They went back to North Korea, and the other one died in one of the North Korean notorious labor camps. And there was an Open Doors. This is Open Doors worker who cared for the North Korean refugee.
Right.
And this North Korean became interested in the Christian faith, and after studying the Bible and receiving training, he became a believer.
Isn't that marvelous?
Pardon?
Isn't that marvelous? Go ahead.
Well, you know, the more amazing thing is that he chose to return to North Korea.
Isn't that something?
He wanted
wow.
to go and share the faith. And the report says He was very excited about his new faith and wanted to share the gospel with his family, says an Open Doors worker. He wanted to come back to China to study the Bible one more time so he could explain the Christian faith better to his family. It's heartbreaking that he was killed. I cannot stop thinking if only he had arrived a little later at the border river, the guard would not have seen and shot him. He would still be alive today. The other Christian recently died in the labor camp. He also studied the Bible in China. So the point of this, Reverend Rick, is many people are trying to escape North Korea through China. They're not saved. But when they're in China, they do come to hear the gospel, and they are saved. And these people have a heart to go back, knowing they could be killed, and want to share the gospel. And they do. Some are killed, some escape, but it's always extremely dangerous.
Well, one of the things I'd like to remind our listeners about is the Orthodox Presbyterian Church has a minister named Sam Folta, and we should pray for Sam this evening when, along with the family and the individuals that you mentioned on the air. But Sam Folta actually is a Presbyterian minister, and what he does is he also has an outreach to China. And one of the things that Sam Folta does is he goes into China, but he also knows some people in North Korea, and he would one day like to go to North Korea as well. So we should pray that that an open door is provided for Sam, that one day he'll be able to go to North Korea. But that's been on his heart. And he also, as I said, he travels to China from time to time. So we should pray for Sam that the Lord opens a door for him to have his heart's desire fulfilled. What's the name of the family and the individual that that you'd like us to pray for regarding North Korea, Ernie?
Well, they don't give names here because of the absolute danger, but we can pray for these, the families of these that died, but also specifically for the prisoners. There's many, many Christians imprisoned in the labor camps in North Korea. But, you know, there's other good news because there's a new ministry of the Voice of the Martyrs called Ministering on the Front Lines, and this is what they're doing. They're actually providing for secret in-country printing in the land of persecution. They're actually have started underground seminaries training house church pastors. They provide horses capable of carrying Bibles at high altitudes. They provide solar-powered video projectors for remote villages. And they provide balloons and parachutes dropping scriptures into restricted nations. And they do this a lot to North Korea.
What's the name of that ministry?
It's Voice of the Martyrs, and it's now called, this ministry is called Ministering on the Front Lines. If you go to Voice of the Martyrs, you'll see that. And we need to pray for that.
All right, we'll do that. We'll do that tonight. What's the name of, you gave another website. It sounded like you said icommittopray.com. Is that right? Do I have that correct?
Yes.
That's
really part of Voice of the Martyrs. If you go to Voice of the Martyrs, you'll see this icommittopray.com. And you'll go to that, and it has a list of people you can pray for.
So you're recommending Voice of the Martyrs, that our listeners can go there or Google that and find out all about that organization. So you're endorsing that. You're saying that's a good organization?
Oh, yes, and as well as the one you mentioned, Rick, Open Doors.
Open Doors. How about International Christian Concern? How about that one?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I would say this. What you can do is, in addition to praying, if you go to I Commit to Pray, they have a way you can write a letter to these prisoners. They will automatically translate for you phrases. You type it in. You pick the phrase. This is how they control so that, you know, no one can say something foolish or, you know, that would not be right. And then you pick that phrase, it automatically translated into whatever language that prisoner is in, and they will get it to him. And actually, you can mail it directly. They supply the address of the prison. So what I've done in my Sunday school lessons is printed out the letter, all translated, with envelopes, you have the label, and then you can send it yourself. And they receive thousands of letters, and you can imagine what the persecutors of these people who think nobody knows about it are shocked and amazed to see thousands and thousands of letters to this person.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, let me break for station identification, and then I'll ask you for the next country that you want to talk about, and then we'll proceed from there, okay?
Okay, Rick.
All righty. Right now, let's break for the group is called Ever Found, and the song is Hallelujah.
You're always trying to convince me to buy the lies you're selling, but I refuse to be your victim. I refuse to drink the poison. Come on.
This is your host, Reverend Rick Anderson. The show is called Jewish Roots, each Thursday night, 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Our theme tonight is Christ in a Dungeon at Christmas Time. The number to call for question or comment, 347-324-5759 on Blog Talk Radio, Food Crew, for our undeserved grace, Christ redeemed earth willingly. We just heard Hallelujah by the group Ever Found. Now, tonight we're dealing with Christian persecution. We made the point that in Matthew chapter 24, when Christ's people are being persecuted and are in prison, and we help them, we are actually ministering to Jesus. Jesus takes it personally. I was in prison, and you came to me. I was afflicted, and you helped me. That's one thing that we can do for the Lord. And you know, at Christmas time, when we're thanking God, when we're thanking Jesus for all our blessings, we have to keep in mind that the way we can really bless the Lord is to minister to him in prison, being persecuted for his faith. Let me deal with another country tonight. The greatest persecutor of Christians is North Korea. Second greatest is the country of Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has continued its zero-tolerance policy towards Christianity. Since the 9/11 disaster in New York City, the government has escalated its detainment, its torture, and deportation of Christian foreign workers from their country. However, it has been recently reported that the Saudi government has acknowledged that the Wahhabi sect of Islam is a huge problem in the fight against terrorism. Let me interject for a second here. The rulers of Saudi Arabia may be portrayed in whatever light you want, but they actually prefer a government that is stable, and they are against what we would call in the U.S. Islamic terrorists. Nonetheless, to keep Islamic terrorists off their back, and when I talk about off their back, I mean the ruling family of Saudi Arabia, which includes hundreds of people, what they do is they have enormous printing presses, and they print copies of the Quran. And they are propagators and distributors of the Quran and of Islam around the world. But nonetheless, what they fear is the overthrow of their rather stable rule in Saudi Arabia by even more extremist Muslims, the so-called Arab Street. That is the extremist individuals in Islam who want to subvert all rule and all authority in favor of what they would call Sharia law, which is the law by terror. And the Saudi ruling family fears them, okay? Saudi Arabia is undoubtedly, however, one of the worst offenders of religious freedom in the world. And we should pray that the Christians in Saudi Arabia would be able to meet together without fear. And as the Saudi government continued its plan of Saudization, that is, in other words, removing all foreigners from the land, we should pray that those Christians who remain will experience the hand of God for protection. And we should pray that Saudi Christians may be able to endure the persecution and threat of jail and beheading for turning to Christ in this Islamic country. You know, if you become a Christian in Saudi Arabia, you can have your head chopped off. It's just like that. And keep in mind, Saudi Arabia is a recipient of American aid. I think American aid ought to be tied to the way they are treating Christians. What do you think? This is a talk radio show. You can call in and say whatever you want. So pray that, my opinion is pray that these believers in Saudi Arabia would not be exposed and that God would supernaturally guide them day to day. Let's bring on Elder Zanon again, and let's ask him more about what's going on in the world. Ernie, are you there?
Yep, I'm ready, Rick.
What other country can you tell us about that we should be praying about tonight?
Well, this is one prisoner that I had provided letters to be sent to the last time I taught in our adult Sunday school on persecution. His name
right.
is Shedar Bote. He's in the country of Nepal, and
right.
it's one of the world's poorest nations, and it's really coming under more and more influence of the Maoist Communist Political Party there.
Oh, really?
Now, yeah, what happened to Shedar Bote was he's a pastor. He was arrested for eating beef, okay, and sentenced to 12 years in prison. There's a lot of tribal customs people don't realize. You can go from one spot in Nepal and eating beef is okay. You go to another spot where he happened to be, which he didn't know, and that's not to be done. And this is a remote part of Nepal.
So in other words, the persecutors of Shedar Bote would be militant Hindus, right?
Yes. That's exactly right.
Because Hindus don't believe it. They don't believe in eating beef. In the West, we don't typically think of Hindus as being militant, but they can be militant, right?
Yes, depends where they're at. This
okay.
is near Tibet, and when they found out about it, they accused him of killing the cow himself. He had bought the meat. He didn't kill the cow. But that's what happens with persecution, is just the rumor is all that's needed, and They destroyed his home and everything he owned. And they handed him over to the Hindu committee, which called police and had him arrested. And here's the prison sentence. Can you imagine this? 12 years in prison.
Wow, for eating beef. Mm.
And a Voice of the Martyrs representative recently met with him. He was sad and discouraged. His family is struggling without him. This is why we need to pray, because they have no income. There's nothing they can get. And the other students mock his children. He has three kids, ages 10, 8, and 7. And the VOM representative said, please help to get more letters in the jail so that he will know he has believers around the world who are praying for him. And so this was the letter that I printed out and encouraged to be sent. Now, if you go to this, I Commit to Pray, his name comes up. You'll see this report of what happened to him, and you have two little icons, either write a letter or petition the official, and that's where you can write a letter that is translated, and it will be sent. And you can send that yourself. They have the address and everything. And there's a whole list of all these other prisoners that you can do this to. So I really recommend that you people go on this site, get these letters, write them, print them out, and send them to these prisoners. And you can imagine what he feels like when he sees all these letters. And imagine what the officials think, that everybody's forgotten this unknown person.
Yeah, we're going to pray for Chet Arbote in a moment, but what I want to do is I'm going to tell listeners what they can do to help persecuted Christians in general. There's four points that they should keep in mind. First of all, we should become better informed here in the West, okay? We can subscribe to publications that are offered by organizations serving the persecuted church. Brother Ernie mentioned Voice of the Martyrs. I Commit to Pray is another website. International Christian Concern is another that we've mentioned here. Another thing that we can do is we can pray for Christians who are being persecuted and for their persecutors. That's biblical. We can establish a prayer group in your church. The thing of it is once people are praying, prayer doesn't end. That isn't the end of what we do. That's the beginning of what we do. But then the Lord can guide us into practical things that we can do. But the problem with a lot of Christians in the West is they just get so embroiled in their own concerns here that they forget about the larger picture, that the Lord's kingdom is expanding in the earth, and all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we have to keep in mind that we are ministering to Jesus when we help his people. And they have to see the bigger picture and not be so, Americans can get myopic. They can get so concerned with their own families and their own economy and what's going on in this country that they lose sight of the bigger picture. So we can start prayer groups in churches. International Christian Concern, by the way, will provide people with a bi-monthly prayer pointer to tell them how to pray. Other things that Christians can do is they can support ministries working to help the persecuted. There is, of course, International Christian Concern, Voice of the Martyrs, Open Doors, etc. And finally, Christians can write letters. You can write letters to our government officials. And also letters to foreign government officials, and voice your concern about the way Christians are being treated. Now, a point to make about writing letters. You have to be polite. You have to express that you are serious, but do not be disrespectful. That's not going to help situations. You see, God has put the authorities in power, even in persecuting countries. Who knows why, but the powers that exist are ordained by God. We have to, for the moment, they're there by the hand of God. Now, God can change that person, but you have to write to them and write to the powers and be grave, be serious, but be respectful, and that's the way to approach it. You have to explain why you are writing, and specifically who you're concerned about would even be better, because that earmarks the individual and their families, and it does put pressure on the government, the foreign government as well, and it makes them aware that these people that they have squirreled away and hope that no one pays attention to, as Brother Ernie has said, that these people are remembered by us in the West. You have to explain why you're writing and provide details regarding the case. And you can find this information usually from Voice of the Martyrs website or International Christian Concerns website. And also urge the officials to release the prisoner and to halt the human rights violations that are occurring. Also to be merciful to their families. Keep in mind that their families who are not imprisoned are in, you know, de facto, they're not in they're not in prison themselves, but de facto they're experiencing the tortures of the imprisoned, because their husbands, their fathers, their brothers are in prison. And also you have to be patient. You have to continue to faithfully write letters again and again until that person is released or the situation has changed. And one of the analogies that I can make, I come from a Jewish background. I remember years ago when the issue of Soviet Jewry was so prominent in the news, when Russia was the Soviet Union and Jewish people were behind the Iron Curtain. And the Jewish community got together and they petitioned the American government and the Soviet government. And the strangest thing happened is the Soviet Union succumbed. They were embarrassed enough that they began to release Jewish people from the Soviet Union. And they were actually concerned about their image, which may seem strange, because the Soviet Union has had a terrible image in the West, but they didn't want to, they wanted to improve their image in the United States and in the West. So they released a lot of Jewish people in the 1970s. We'll see if the Jews can get their act together and do that. There's no reason why the evangelical Christians can as well, and they should pick a cue from them. Anyway, Brother Ernie, who are we praying for? We're praying for Chedar Bote and his family. Is that correct?
Yes. I had just one point to make, too, that on the Voice of the Martyrs, you can sign up to get weekly email updates on prayer requests for specific prisoners.
Okay.
So they'll do that. And when you write to an official, they always put a suggestion about, like you had mentioned, be careful, polite, respectful. So they direct you on all that.
Be careful, be polite, be respectful. Let's break for a song. We'll come back, and the first thing we'll do is we'll pray for Chedar Bote and his family. The group is called Ever Found. The song is Never Beyond Repair.
Amen.
Yeah.
group has ever found, singing Never Beyond Repair. Nobody is beyond hope. No ruler, no leader, nobody. The greatest persecutor of Christians was Saint Paul. He was known as Saul of Tarsus. He was a torturer who was commissioned by the high priest 2,000 years ago to go and beat up on Christians, compelling them to blaspheme if he possibly could. He had the authority to tie them up, to bind them hand and foot, and to persuade them to curse Christ. This was St. Paul, and he wasn't beyond repair either. So we should pray for the rulers, the leaders, as wicked as they are, that they would realize what they're doing, see the light, and come to repentance. This is your host, Reverend Rick Anderson. The show is called Jewish Roots, each Thursday night, 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Our theme tonight is Christ in a Dungeon at Christmas Time. The number to call for question or comment, 347-324-5759 on Blog Talk Radio, Food's Crew, for our undeserved grace, Christ redeemed earth willingly. We're going to bring Brother Ernie Zanon back on the air, and we're going to pray for Chedar Bote and his family. Is that right, Ernie?
Yes, please. Thank you for this. This is so important.
Okay. And yeah, it is so important because it's just the beginning. It's important just that Christians realize that there are people out there and we need to pray for them. So Ernie, let's you and I pray for Chedar Bote and his family and his persecutors. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, the King, we come before your presence. We know what your word says. Your word says that if we remember those who are in prison, who believe in you, we are remembering you. We are aware of what your word says. Your word says, for as much as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And we ask, Holy Father, that you would comfort Chedar Bote, that you would strengthen him with might by your spirit in his inner man, that Christ would dwell in his heart by faith, that he would be rooted and grounded in love, and that you would help as well his family, that you, by your Spirit, would be Emmanuel to them, that you would give them the experience of your spiritual presence where they are and assure them that all is well and that you are in control of the situation. We ask that you put the fear of God into the guards and the people who are in this prison, that you would, as Daniel was in the lion's den, you cause the lions to be afraid to touch him. We ask as well, Lord God, that you cause people around Chedar Bote to be afraid to mistreat him and to actually treat him wonderfully because they fear the living God. We ask, Lord God, that even for the worst of reasons, you cause his persecutors to do him good and to do what is necessary to console his family, to go above and beyond what they're commissioned to do as guards and as officials of the prison, that they would help Chedar Bote, that they would see to his bodily needs and his warmth, and because they fear Chedar's God. And we trust you to do this, Lord God. We also ask that you open up doors of opportunity for us to expand this concern and this ministry. We ask that you would prevail upon the hearts of others in the United States to take up the cause of your people around the world who are in prison, as if we were in prison with them, because that's what you said in the Epistle of Hebrews chapter 13. You said, remember those who are in bonds as bound with them, and them who suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ernie, do you have anyone else or any other country that's on your heart that you'd like to mention tonight?
Well, I would say the number one country is North Korea. That's okay. The main one, because that's the most brutal. But the Lord is working, and no one can prevent the gospel. No matter what they try to do, God has a way. So let's just have a prayer burden, write letters, and commit to have a time that we set a time to pray regularly for persecuted church, and not just passing, you know, now and then, but commit to it and see what the Lord will do.
Yeah, sounds like a great idea. Let me see what else I have. There is another individual in the nation of Eritrea. His name is Haile Nagzi. And Haile Nagzi is in a Karshalai prison in Eritrea. Eritrea used to be part of Ethiopia. Ethiopia broke into two countries some years ago, similar to what happened in Sudan. Sudan broke into two countries only recently. The newest nation of the world is South Sudan, and there's a lot of persecution in the wake of this division. But Haile Nagzi is in Eritrea. This is one of the projects that I know that Elder Ernie Zanon had. He had his Sunday school class write letters on behalf of Haile Nagzi in Eritrea. And
yes.
This was I think Ernie shared how this was translated. You can submit it, and then it's translated into I believe it's Asmara. That's the language of Eritrea. And maybe you could tell us a little about that project with Haile Nagzi before we pray for him and his family.
All right. He was arrested in May 2004. So you can see he's been in there, and there have been 1,223 emails mailed to government officials.
In Eritrea?
Yes. And get this one. The total number of letters encouraging this brother total 4,663.
That's awesome.
This is what we can accomplish. And by the way, he highly has three children, and they were separated, of course, in the Sudan. And in the meantime, more than 20 church leaders working with the underground church were arrested also in January this year. So there's a tremendous amount of persecution going on.
In Eritrea, right?
Yes. So we need to lift up this brother and the other prisoners there.
Okay, let's do that. So let's join in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you and we pray for the situation in Eritrea. Lord God, we're aware that this is the land where 2,000 years ago, the emissary of Candace, ruler of the Ethiopians, was in Jerusalem reading from a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And that emissary read Isaiah chapter 53, and he asked, I believe it was Peter, I'm not sure, one of the apostles anyway, of whom does the prophet speak? And the apostle explained to this emissary of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, that it was Jesus that the prophet spoke of. And this emissary took the gospel back to Ethiopia. That was 2,000 years ago. And here we are 2,000 years into the future. And that land is broken into two parts. Eritrea is one part of that land. And we pray, Holy Father, that you once again establish the gospel in Eritrea and in Ethiopia, and that you would comfort Haile Nagzi in prison, in the Karshalai prison in Eritrea, and that you would comfort his family, and that you would cause his family to say of a truth, God is with us and God is Emmanuel to us. And we ask again for Haile Nagzi, as we ask for Chedar Bote, that you would cause his guards and the people who see to his bodily needs would be kind to him and fear the God that he fears, and that you would grant that they would see to every kindness and every consideration that they can take on behalf of him and his family. And grant, Lord God, that you would visit him by your spirit in prison and cause those hearing this broadcast to take up the torch as well for other persecuted brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted for their faith in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
And Lord, I just pray that the wrath of man will praise thee, and the rest thou wilt restrain. And we wait and see with expectation thy kingdom to come to all these lands, where Christ alone will reign supreme. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ernie. I know you were quoting from some verse. There is a verse in the Bible that says the wrath of man will praise will praise God. I'm not sure where it is. Do you know where it is?
It's in Psalms. I believe it's Psalm 72.
Psalm 72. All right.
I believe so.
Well, thanks so much for being on the air with us, Brother Ernie. I got a break for another song and another station identification. But,
all right. Thanks, Reverend Rick, so much for having
we'll
me on.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye, Rick.
All right, the groove is ever found. What does love mean? That's his song. Ever found's What Love Means, and let's play that. That'll be our last song. Ever Found is singing What Love Means. They're quoting from Romans chapter 8. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This is St. Paul. St. Paul said that he was a prisoner of conscience. That is, he was a prisoner for his faith. He was imprisoned. And he said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? He said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. From the love of God, rather, that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the kind of thing we need to pray over those who are suffering in prison. We have to identify with them. We have to remember them as if we were in there with them. That is the love of Christ. This is how we honor our Lord today at Christmas time. This is your host, Reverend Rick Anderson. The show is called Jewish Roots, each Thursday night, 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Our theme tonight has been Christ in a Dungeon at Christmas Time. The number to call for question or comment, 347-324-5759 on Blog Talk Radio, Food's Crew, for our undeserved grace, Christ redeemed earth willingly. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling, and see you next week.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?